In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We begin with this magnificent passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. God's love is lavished upon Israel. That's clear. They are the chosen people. He has given them the law and the prophets and the covenants. God chose and set Israel up in order to be the example, the standard for all the other nations of the world to follow. That's what it means to be a chosen people of God. But to be chosen also means that much is expected. The chosen people were meant to live up to their exalted calling, and God reprimands them when they don't. That's what a good parent does. I myself can look back and be thankful of certain disciplines that my parents gave me, even if I wasn't particularly thankful to them at the time. They really did that out of love. So watch out here for you and me. St. Paul reminds you and me, who are the church, that we are the new Israel. We are its continuation. That means that this message is not for a people long ago in a place far away. We've got to live up to our calling as a chosen people, a people set apart to be an example for the world of how we should be living, of what we should do. The prophet Isaiah speaks of his friend who planted the best grapevines in a magnificent vineyard, the best vines in the best vineyard possible. But then the vineyard yields wild grapes, a bitter harvest, not what the owner planned. The friend in the story is God. The vineyard is his chosen people. This chosen people had been meant to lift up and intoxicate the whole world with the fruit of the vines. What a great image that is for Israel's purpose. It's probably not a good image for Baptists who don't drink, but it is for us, that intoxication with God's word. But this vineyard produced bitter grapes. What does that symbolize? The wild grapes stand for the infidelity of Israel. Yes, it's a hard word, and we don't like to hear it. Infidelity, the exact opposite of fidelity. The Lord, who has done so much for Israel, without whom Israel would not even exist, he receives in response infidelity. Above all, it's idolatry. It's the worship of something or even someone else over and above the one and only true God. Over and over again in the Bible, what do we hear? We hear that Israel wanted to be like the other nations around them. They wanted to be like the other people in the world. But that's the problem. The whole point was that they were supposed to be unlike everyone else. They were supposed to be set apart, which is the very definition of the word holy. Set apart as an example for others to follow, for others to imitate, to be the standard, to be the norm. But instead, they were wild grapes. The vineyard did not bring forth what God, the creator of the vineyard, had intended at its planting. So God made it a ruin. He destroys it. He allows us to feel the effects of our sins. But he does not abandon Israel. He does not abandon us. The gospel parallel is directly connected to this passage from Isaiah. The meaning would not have been missed by any first century Jewish audience. So Jesus begins. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. His listeners know right away the landowner is God. They know the vineyard is Israel. And now Jesus gives it a little twist. The owner then sends a series of servants to collect his rent from the vineyard. Note that the people that had been entrusted to take care of the vineyard had been allowed to enjoy the fruits of the vineyard. The owner wanted them to enjoy the fruits. They just needed to give over a portion that was due to the actual owner. But when the owner sends the servants, they are abused and stoned and killed. They symbolize the prophets. But God doesn't give up. Over and over and over again, he keeps sending messengers. And almost in desperation, we are told that the owner finally decides to send his son, convinced that the tenants will at least respect him. But instead, Jesus says they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. This is clearly a reference to Jesus' own passion and death as the Son. We know all know that familiar passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That Son was kicked out of the vineyard, outside of the city, abused, rejected, and killed. Now, what are we to take home from this? Remember, first and foremost, you and I are the new Israel. So, how have we been doing in tending the vineyard? We're in it. We who have received so much from God, ourselves having received the law, the covenant, the new covenant, the sacraments, the incarnation of the Son of God, all of these graces. We who receive nothing less than the body and blood of God incarnate in Holy Communion. We who are privileged to receive all of this, how are we doing tending his vineyard? Are you set apart as an example? Or do you want to be just like the rest of the world? Let's be honest, the world around us pretends the vineyard has no creator. How convenient. If there is no creator, then we feel that we can do whatever we want without consequences, because we become the standard. When we talk about being a good person, that person who says that he's good or she's good is the one who decides that. We become the standard. But the problem is there are consequences for our actions, and we all know it. You can't get away from it. But even the laws of our nation, and pretty much every nation of the West, are often set up as a rival, equal to or usually even above God's divine law. Now, this would be different if it were done by atheists. We could see that they don't believe in God, but it's often done by people who profess faith and say that, well, it's different here because this is a nation, it's not of God. But God's law is perfect. It's especially done in situations regarding life. Almost always these decisions are made because of convenience or inconvenience of a party. We want to treat the most intimate, the most beautiful thing that we have, sexual relations. We treat them as if it were like playing tennis, like some kind of recreational sport. We want it, but without consequences. But there are consequences, and it is bound up in the very biology of who we are, how we were created by God. And we can't get away from it. When life comes from such a union, it's not because something went wrong. That's the way it's supposed to work. If something went right. Of course, all this is for fertile ground for another homily. But there is a creator of the vineyard, and we know it. We didn't plant it. It didn't just poof appear. We are mere stewards of something far greater than ourselves. Stewards, not owners. Are we producing good grapes, worthy fruit for the owner? Or, fellow sinners, are we killing the messengers and pretending there is no owner, killing our consciences so we feel that we can live as we would like to. But the inevitable result of this way of living, the result of a world that has grown intentionally deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the result is aridity, lifelessness, and violence. Wild grapes, bitter fruit. St. John Paul II called it the culture of death. What has happened to the lovely vineyard God planted and entrusted to us, that we might lead others to something beautiful, to be a light for the world? But don't give up. Never read the gospel with a sense of hopelessness. Listen how Jesus closes his reflection. Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Yes, we have rejected God. Yes, we have killed his messengers. Yes, we have yielded wild grapes, a bitter harvest. But God still doesn't give up on us. He turns the sign of defeat, the cross, to the sign of victory. As you leave Holy Mass today, having received God himself into your temple and that privilege, resolve to base your entire life on this cornerstone. Turn away from sin today, cultivate the vineyard, produce good fruit. I'd like to end with just a couple of quotes that I love. At some point, you've got to do more than just flirt with Jesus. And secondly, be a saint. What else is there? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.